Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Cheese is in, but other foods high in fat, salt and sugar are out. The new Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Children's Advertising Code released today is based on flawed science, says the food and drink industry. Yet it doesn't go far enough, according to the Irish Heart Foundation. Here's Paul Kelly of Food and Drink Industry Ireland on the News at One earlier, making the argument that the exemption for cheese shows that the new code is based on flawed science.
The problem, in a nutshell, is that they were working on a nutrient profiling system which used a 100-gram measure rather than the amount that people actually ate or do eat. And we know what people eat. We know in relation to cheese that they actually eat about one-sixth of that if they're children at a sitting. And the reason we know that is we got absolutely world-class information in this country which was ignored by the Broadcasting Authority when they put together the new code.
So will this new code work then? Martin Carrer is a lecturer in food policy in City University. He joins me on the line now. Martin, the nutrient profiling system that Paul Kelly was talking about there that we are using in this country is one that we have borrowed directly from the United Kingdom. Has it worked there? Has it had any impact on childhood obesity?
It's had an impact on children's choice and the foods they choose. Whether it's had an impact on obesity is too early to say, because we only see those results in 5 to 6 years' time.
And what sort of impact has it had on choice?
It's restricted the advertising to children on TV, and it's important to remember this is only on TV. The same ads can appear on a website and are not subject to any control. It's made peer pressure and parents' choice is slightly easier by not having children exposed to those advertisements.
Okay, so the nag factor might be somewhat reduced, but is there actual quantitative research from within the industry showing a reduction in the consumption of certain types of products?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the argument that this is flawed science, it doesn't stand up. The nutrient profiling centres have been peer-reviewed 10 to 15 times and have stood up to that level of peer review in academic papers. Two major companies that we know of, Pepsi-Cola and McDonald's, are using them internally to profile their own foods and to reformulate their own foods. So if they're that flawed, I don't get what the problem is.
Ah, well, there now you go. Reformulating foods. Does that mean that the industry is trying to find ways around it and substitute the fats and the salts and the sugars with something else that will mean that their foodstuff comes in under the threshold?
Yeah, that's true. And that should be one of the aims of legislation like this. It forces people to reformulate, albeit to the side of healthy. And you're right, as long as they're not putting in something more damaging. But, you know, the industry are pretty canny. They can promote water as opposed to fizzy drinks and make the same amount of profit from those. And similarly, with replacing fat and foodstuff.
You made an interesting observation at the outset there, and that is the extent to which children are advertised to online. Have we missed the boat in that we are only now talking about restricting food advertisements on television?
To some extent. I mean, the industry in public health, we've been arguing this here in the UK and in Ireland for the last 10 years about restrictions. The reality is the industry and the marketing industry have moved ahead of us, and they're targeting kids in very different ways. So it's games online, it's direct advertising online, it's targeting kids through online media messages and through phone messages.
The other part of the message that the food and drinks industry was keen to put across this afternoon was one that is familiar to many people. Moderation in combination with education is all that we need to do to reduce both childhood and adult obesity. That's a message that the food and drinks industry has been pushing for a long time. Is it fair to say that if that was going to work, it would have worked by now?
Yeah. I mean, the industry have massively invested in education. What we need to think about is protecting children. I mean, and undue influence. There are instances from Canada where they've had advertising restrictions in place for 10 or 15 years in Quebec and Montreal, and they have been effective in stopping the level of obesity rising. I mean, of course, obesity is subject to many factors, but restricting advertising is one of those, and education is one of those as well. But we've got to have restrictions on advertising.
And is this a part of a process, you say, that advertising comes first, prompting consumer change and in turn prompting the food manufacturers and the processors to change the way they make their products?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of those. If we set these standards and they reformulate, that's the first step. You know, the second step is education. People, you know, we know in places you can restrict choice and people can still exercise choice. So in New York at the moment, they're banning fizzy drinks in large bottles. Now, people still buy two small bottles. But you're sending out a clear public health message that this is not a good idea to be consuming in these quantities.
Martin Carragher, lecturer in food policy at City University London, thank you very much for joining us.